Hello. Welcome to Out in the Bay, queer radio from San Francisco. I'm Eric Jansen. This fall's election is a biggie, to say the least, and the presidential race isn't the only important contest on the ballot. LGBTQ strategists say motivating people to actually vote is critical to success. In this half hour, both national and statewide perspectives on the importance of getting out the vote. We'll hear first from Alfonso David, president of the Washington, D.C.-based Human Rights Campaign, commonly known as the HRC, and a little later from Joshua Stickney, Deputy Communications Director of Equality California. The Human Rights Campaign is the largest LGBTQ advocacy group and political lobbying organization in the U.S., in the world, in fact. Alfonso David, a nationally recognized LGBTQ civil rights lawyer and advocate, took the helm at the HRC last year. He's the first civil rights lawyer and the first person of color to serve as HRC president in the organization's nearly 40-year history. Alfonso David, welcome to Out in the Bay.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me today.
I know there's a lot to cover, and you're a busy guy, especially this time of year, this particular year. You gave a speech recently at the HRC's Unite for Equality event, and you told a story about asking for advice from a very historic figure. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. So I had the opportunity to spend some time with someone who I admire quite a lot. And I asked this person, assume that you are me, running the largest LGBTQ civil rights organization in the world. I think I said, what would be your number one priority? And in response, she said, Alfonso, do everything you can to protect and ensure the right to vote. It is the most important thing. And that person was Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And that we're all still mourning her loss. She's left us, but she also left an incredible legacy of fighting for LGBTQ people, for women, for marginalized communities, and making sure that our Constitution is actually reflective of, you know, what it should mean, which is that it means that equal justice for all, you know, justice and fairness for all, equality for all. And that's what she was fighting for. So those words are still haunting me because I see this election as being the most pivotal election of my lifetime. And I want to make sure that we do protect and ensure the right to vote for everyone to make sure their voices are heard.
Indeed, the HRC website calls this the most important election of our lives. Why is that?
There's so many different reasons, but I think at its core, for the past 3.5 years, we have seen an attack on our democracy. We have a president who has really sought to chip away at the fundamental pillars that support our democracy. Whether it be attacking peaceful protesters who are exercising their First Amendment rights, but yet being confronted by tear gas, or attacking women, or attacking immigrants, or attacking LGBTQ people. He is attacking our identity. He's stripping away healthcare for LGBTQ people, denying LGBTQ people the ability to serve as adoption and foster parents, denying transgender people from serving in the military, denying shelters to LGBTQ people and specifically transgender people who are homeless. I mean, it's a laundry list, removing all references of LGBTQ from websites that from federal agencies. So he is attacking the core of who we are. He's attacking our identity. And he's not doing that only with LGBTQ people. He's doing that with all marginalized communities. So we're fighting for our lives because he's attempting to erase us. That is why this is so important. Our democracy is at stake. And whether we exist in this democracy is being threatened as well.
The HRC has come out in support of Biden for obvious reasons. Where does the former vice president stand on LGBTQ issues?
Well, Joe Biden has been a champion for LGBTQ issues from his advocacy for strengthening hate crime laws in the 1980s to championing non-discrimination legislation such as the Equality Act. He has decades and decades of records supporting LGBTQ people, is strong, is multifaceted. There are few other national politicians who have a long record of acting on behalf of LGBTQ equality. He is supporting the most important piece of legislation that we are advancing as a community, and that is the Equality Act. The Equality Act would provide comprehensive protections for LGBTQ people. And he's not coming to this party now. As I said, he has been supporting LGBTQ people for decades. And his record far surpasses what anyone in the Trump administration has been attempting to do. They've been going in the opposite direction.
Just to briefly recap, the Equality Act essentially adds LGBTQ protections to the protections we have for race, religion, and sex in federal civil rights laws in broad categories, housing, jobs, banking, and it's uniform nationwide as opposed to state by state. It also expands the definition of public spaces to include retail stores and transportation services. Is there anything else you want to say about the Equality Act that we should know? I mean, I know that it passed the House a year ago.
Yeah.
Where is it now? What's the status? I assume that the Senate is not eager to pass it.
No. So the legislation passed the House of Representatives under the leadership of Speaker Pelosi. It is now stalled in the Senate under Mitch McConnell's leadership or lack of leadership, I should say. There is a graveyard of bills that are sitting in the Senate because Mitch McConnell refuses to advance those bills. And you referenced earlier a point that I think is worth restating. The Equality Act is needed now more than ever. Some people assume because of the Bostock decision that we no longer need the Equality Act. The Bostock decision effectively said that LGBTQ people are protected under federal civil rights laws, and specifically Title VII, which says you can't discriminate against someone based on sex, and by extension, based on sexual orientation and gender identity. And so the court's ruling is being interpreted, and I think appropriately so, to say if there are other federal laws that prohibit discrimination on the basis of sex, then that should also include sexual orientation and gender identity. The problem is we have a federal administration that is not interpreting that decision as we are, and in fact, taking a different view and saying we are not protected under federal civil rights laws, even if they prohibit discrimination on the basis of sex. And the second problem is there are instances where there is no federal law to protect us. Transportation hubs is one example. If you got into a Lyft or into an Uber and you were to travel from your house to pick the location and you don't live in a state where there are protections, you have no protection under federal law. The same for retail establishments. If you wanted to purchase a new suit or blouse or buy socks in a retail store, you could face discrimination as a person of color or an LGBTQ person. You would have no recourse under federal law. And there are 29 states in this country where there are no comprehensive protections for LGBTQ people. So the Equality Act is more important now than ever. And if Donald Trump and Mitch McConnell are able to push through this nomination of Amy Coney Barrett, which we are opposing, we will have to fight for our rights in the judiciary even more than we are now. So the Equality Act is more important than ever before.
This confirmation hearing for Amy Coney Barrett, that from the last I hear, as of Monday morning, this is being recorded Monday, the 5th of October, ironically, the first day of the U.S. Supreme Court, first Monday in October. And still, despite several key senators having tested positive for COVID, the plan is that they're going to go ahead with those confirmation hearings to begin next week. Do you think there's any chance that this won't be rushed through?
What they're doing is so offensive. They are trying to rush it through while people are suffering across this country. Instead of offering aid, Trump, McConnell, and the Senate Republicans are pushing through, rushing through a Supreme Court justice in the middle of an election, a justice who could deal a fatal blow to people maintaining their basic health care. So they're not focused on COVID-19 relief, and they haven't been for months. But instead, they're trying to jam through a Supreme Court nominee when people have already voted in many parts of the country. So we are opposing any advancement of this nomination at this point. The next president should be responsible for appointing the next justice to the U.S. Supreme Court. And we also have separate concerns about Amy Coney Barrett. Her record on LGBTQ issues is deeply troubling. She has basically sided with the dissenters in the Obergefell case. The Obergefell is the landmark marriage equality case. She has questioned the role of the court in deciding that case. She has said that Title IX protections do not extend to transgender people. She's opposed or demonstrated an opposition to reproductive rights. She's criticized the Affordable Care Act, and the list goes on. So we have some deep concerns about her nomination on the merits. And we also have concerns about her being advanced during this time where we're in the middle of an election, people are voting, and based on their own policy of 4 years ago, the next president should be nominating and the next Senate should be approving the next justice to the Supreme Court.
So whether or not a tactic succeeds to stop that from being railroaded through before the election, in the longer term, if you had to pick just a few key Senate races, four or five, what do you recommend that LGBTQ voters focus on right now? Obviously, we can't vote in districts outside of our states, but are there ways that LGBTQ voters across the country can help with efforts to change the balance in the Senate?
Absolutely. So we need to essentially re-elect Peters in Michigan. And we need to ensure that we elect five additional senators in the Senate. So in addition to Senator Peters in Michigan, we need to elect Mark Kelly in Arizona, Cal Cunningham in North Carolina, Sarah Gideon in Maine, Teresa Greenfield in Iowa. And then we have a potential Hickenlooper in Colorado as well. So even if you don't live in those states, you don't live in Arizona, Colorado, Michigan, North Carolina, Maine, or Iowa, you can certainly support those candidates. You can support them through the Human Rights Campaign. You can go to hrc.org/vote. You can get information about these candidates, support their candidacy, support the Human Rights Campaign. We are looking to mobilize more than 57 million equality voters all over this country. Equality voters are those who prioritize equality issues at the ballot box. They're 57 million. And 10 million of them live in what we call the swing states. So you could volunteer every Tuesday night to call into those swing states. You could donate to the Human Rights Campaign. You could donate to these candidates. You could do a variety of things to help us make sure we get over the finish line.
Last year, UCLA School of Law published a report showing that 1 in 5, 20% of LGBTQ adults are not registered to vote. How's the HRC working to get out the queer vote? And you know, why is that the case, do you think?
Well, historically, there's been a lot of apathy with respect to elections generally. And I think that some people have lost faith in their democracy. They, in some cases, don't feel that government is actually working on their behalf. They don't believe that government is working to protect them. And so in some cases, they have completely disconnected from the electoral process. In other cases, we have people that are confronting long-standing efforts to suppress their vote. Transgender people in this country show up to vote and are told they can't vote in many cases. So we have more than 300,000 transgender people who we understand may face voter suppression efforts in this country. So there are a variety of reasons why I think people have confronted those challenges. We are working to make sure we mobilize the vote. We've launched an advocacy app called TEAM, T-E-A-M. You can download that app and you can see for every person who's in your personal contacts, whether or not that person has voted every single election. And you can engage with that person on pro-equality candidates and the issues and actually incentivize them to vote. We have found that that this application is 9 times more effective than knocking on someone's door, than contacting a stranger to talk about the election. So we encourage people to do that. Those are just two of many, many tools that we're using to engage with LGBTQ voters and voters generally across this country.
Let me just follow up with one quick question about the transgender voter suppression. How does that work? Someone shows up at the poll and because of their appearance or because their name doesn't match, their name doesn't match their record somehow, what is specifically happening there?
There are a number of things that are happening. A transgender person shows up to the polls and they're told that their driver's license does not match their appearance. And they are told, well, you are showing up and you don't appear to be the person that's reflected on this identification card. Or they're asked for multiple forms of identification in order to actually vote. Or they're told you can't vote we don't have any record of you of voting here in this municipality. There's so many different ways that transgender people are confronting bias at the polling stations, but the most often form of discrimination that we're seeing and voter suppression that we're seeing is voter ID laws. And we've seen this for people of color as well. In some places in this country, if in certain minority neighborhoods, the polling stations are just not opened on election day. Or we're told that the poll workers, they don't have sufficient poll workers, so they're not opening up those polling stations.
Those polling stations that happen to be in Black neighborhoods or neighborhoods of color.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So if you are a person of color and you're a transgender person, you're hit twice. Because in most cases, you're living in a neighborhood that is going to face discrimination. And as an individual, you're facing obstacles when you try to vote. And so we have an initiative called the Transgender Justice Initiative. We've engaged with the Transgender March to make sure we're getting the word out that people send in their absentee ballots so that they can avoid those challenges, that they vote by mail if they live in a state where they can vote by mail, so they avoid some of the voter suppression efforts we've seen around the country.
Last question I have for you is about the mail-in voting that's been such an attack on that. And ballots, at least in California, were supposed to go out statewide starting today, this week. So what can you tell us about that?
We have 5 states in this country where you've been able to vote by mail for years. We have many states in this country where absentee ballots are allowed and have been allowed for decades. We have the president of the United States who has been voting by mail for years. So there is no widespread fraud. There's no evidence of it. Vote by mail is an acceptable way of exercising your voice at the ballot box, and people should continue to do that. Again, if you have questions about what the rules are in your state, go to hrc.org/vote. You can get information about the vote by mail process. You can get information about whether or not you're registered to vote and whether or not you've been properly registered to vote. All of that information you can get through the website. I encourage people to make sure they know the facts before election day. And also, finally, please vote early if you can. You don't have to wait for election day. In many states, you can vote early. So please vote early to make sure your ballots are counted.
That's better because there's less chance of it being held up at the last minute?
Correct. And that's also online. We have that information online where people can find out about what the rules are in their states for voting early, because it's unfortunately different in every single state. So you have to become really familiar with the rules in your jurisdiction to know, when can I vote early? Are absentee ballots allowed? And if so, what are the rules? Can I vote by mail without having an excuse? And in California, as an example, you can. In Texas, you cannot. So you need to know what the rules are in your state to make sure that you exercise your right to vote.
Very good. I want to thank you so much, Alfonso David, president of the Human Rights Campaign. Thank you for sharing your time and your national insights with us. Listeners, don't go away. Stay with us for a statewide perspective from Equality California that's coming right up. For in-depth information about the Human Rights Campaign and all it does, go to hrc.org. You can learn more there about the Unite for Equality initiative, and you can register to vote and volunteer. That's hrc.org. We'll have the link on our site, outinthebay.org. I'm Eric Jansen. You're listening to Out in the Bay, queer radio from San Francisco. We just heard a national view from Human Rights Campaign President Alfonso David. While much of our attention has been focused on the presidential ticket and other national offices, we can't forget how important local and state elections are, especially here in California, where voters weigh in not only on the candidates, but also on changes to public policy. We turn now to Joshua Stickney, Deputy Communications Director of Equality California, the nation's largest statewide LGBTQ civil rights organization. Josh will break down for us key races and measures most important to LGBTQ Californians and convince us to vote. So welcome, Josh.
Hey, Eric, how are you doing?
It's been a busy week, and it's going to be a very busy month, I have a feeling. Josh, every election cycle...
We wouldn't have election season any other way, would we, Eric?
It's always... It's especially 2020. Every election cycle, Californians complain that we vote on too much, that special interests manipulate the initiative process, and that wording for the propositions is too complicated. Yet here we are. Help us out. What California ballot measures should LGBTQ voters be paying attention to in this election?
Sure. First off, I just want to say thanks so much for having me on. Equality California is really, it's a privilege to do this work and make sure that LGBTQ voices are being heard in the election. So if you're Californian voting this year, there's a lot on your ballot, and there usually is. And, you know, here at Equality California, we are interested in any issues that are going to affect LGBTQ people, our allies, and of course, the diverse communities that we all belong to. But, you know, just to highlight a few of the propositions we're really focusing on, the first one is Proposition 16, which has been in the news a lot. California is one of only 9 states that does not recognize affirmative action as a tool to fight discrimination. And so what Proposition 16 will do is essentially open up California students to more opportunities in fair wages, jobs, schools, and it levels the playing field by ending California's ban on affirmative action.
Thank you.
And just moving on to the second kind of, we kind of group these together, Propositions 17 and Proposition 18, and these are going to expand the voting rights of Californians. And I won't get too much into the nitty-gritty of each because we could be here all day, but essentially a yes on Proposition 17 would mean voting to support the constitutional amendment that allows people on parole for felony convictions to be able to vote. And then Proposition 18 would allow 17-year-old Californians who are 18 at the time of the next general election to vote in the primary and special elections while they are still 17. This is just going to allow some of the youngest in the LGBTQ community who are obviously still engaged and able to vote to have that opportunity.
So as far as candidates, I know that the full list can be found on your website, eqca.org, but are there 3 or 4 races you'd like to highlight right now for our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much, because when it comes down to it, candidates are pretty easy to get behind, right? They're the faces of the election right now. And besides the folks at the top of the ticket, which we've endorsed Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, like HRC has, we are really focusing on a lot of state and local races here in California as well, where we endorse openly LGBTQ candidates for local offices. And then openly LGBTQ plus and pro-equality candidates, meaning that they have received 100% on our legislative scorecard for the past 2 years, or have shown through an interview and a rigorous application process that they are 100% pro-equality. You know, I'll start right here in the San Francisco area as Senator Scott Wiener for Senate District 11. There are some great candidates in this race, a lot of good issues being talked about. But when it comes down to it, Scott, Senator Wiener is our biggest champion for LGBTQ equality in Sacramento. And so we couldn't be more proud to stick by him. He has taken up the hard fights in Sacramento for housing, for LGBTQ policy issues, for intersex folks, for formerly incarcerated and incarcerated transgender people. And not only has he brought them up, but he's gotten them through the legislature, which is really a testament to his advocacy and his wherewithal. And then I'll talk about 3 more candidates very quickly. Abigail Medina down in Senate District 23. That's kind of in the San Bernardino, Riverside County area. And she's actually running for an open seat. And we think that not only is that seat ripe for the taking, back into pro-equality hands. But Abigail Medina is an openly LGBTQ champion and a huge education advocate in her community. She currently sits on the San Bernardino School Board. And in the Central Valley, a little bit further north in Senate District 5, we've endorsed Susan Eggman, who's currently in the Assembly, but this would be changing over chambers over to the Senate. And Susan Eggman, also openly LGBTQ, has just proven to be an incredible champion, has co-sponsored some of our really good bills, has gotten so much done in the Assembly, and we know she's going to be an excellent champion for us over in the Senate as well. And the final race that I'll highlight is actually a local race down in San Diego. Todd Gloria is running to be the first LGBTQ person of color elected as mayor of San Diego. Todd Gloria is a current assembly member. He's vice chair of the legislative LGBTQ caucus. But we think that this would be a historic first for San Diego, one of the biggest cities in the United States, to elect their first LGBTQ plus mayor. And not only that, we've seen, we've followed Todd's career from being in elected office in San Diego all the way up to the legislature. And he is a stalwart champion for LGBTQ plus civil rights.
Very good. Thanks for that rundown.
Of course.
UCLA's Williams Institute found that nationally, 1 in 5 LGBTQ adults are not registered to vote. Is that true in California? And if so, why? And what are the key reasons people don't vote?
Yeah, that Williams Institute study is numbers we use all the time in making sure that people get out to vote, right? Because it just seems ridiculous that 1 in 5 LGBTQ people wouldn't be registered to vote. But what you have to remember is that LGBTQ people are across all sorts of economic, socioeconomic, religious, ethnic, regional backgrounds. And so when you talk about Black, Brown, and people of color being disenfranchised out of the voting process, and when you talk about undocumented folks, and when you talk about rural folks being left out of the election process, you are inherently talking about LGBTQ plus people. And so while we don't have those specific statistics here in California, we do know that about 1 in 8 registered voters in California identifies as LGBTQ, which is astonishing. That's a huge voting block in the world's fifth largest economy. But your question about why some of those folks don't vote is, if you watch the news right now, it's hard to handle. There's so much going on, and I think what we're experiencing right now is folks being motivated by the fact that it's just attack after attack from Washington D.C. and the Trump-Pence administration. And what that is doing is it's impacting, unfortunately, anti-LGBTQ extremists running for office here in California. And so while there are some reasons that folks might not vote, what we're seeing more often right now, especially this year, is folks are being motivated by the fact that there are these kind of competing factors, be it the Trump-Pence administration trying to suppress the vote by undermining the USPS, or if it's by places like Texas, where they are reducing the number of voting locations and ballot drop-offs. I think young people specifically see through this. They're grabbing their news from social media, and they're sick of it. And so they're going to make a change. And if the general election this year is anything like the primary of this year, and of course the election in 2018, where we saw huge numbers of young people and saw huge numbers of LGBTQ people getting out to vote, then I'm encouraged, and I think there are going to be fewer people who say no, voting's not for me, and more people who are saying this is the year I'm going to cast my first ballot, or I'm going to make it to the polls.
I have to say, it's been a long time since I've seen and felt such excitement and fear, frankly, and energy around a national election and a statewide election. The stakes are definitely high this year. And do you think, you know, because of the national, situation, let's just say, that is going to bring more people out to vote for that. And because they're voting for that, they're going to also vote on these state and local measures and candidates that also matter so much.
We certainly hope so. I mean, I've spoken to a number of people who were so upset by the undermining of the United States Postal Service by the Trump-Pence administration, that it's such a clear attack on voting rights and access to voting. And mail-in voting. And that in and of itself was enough for them to make sure that they were going to get their ballot in, or that they made a plan to vote right that minute, because they saw they are witnessing folks trying to impede their vote. And I think you're exactly right. They kind of are motivated by that. But luckily here in California, you know, we have a robust system of in-person voting options, including early voting locations and ballot drop-off locations. But also we have a state that genuinely cares about voting by mail and the safety of voters. And so, I think that that's should put a lot of young California voters, especially at ease, is this state cares and wants you to vote. And we're going to do everything we can to make sure you are equipped to get your ballot in, unlike, unfortunately, the administration in Washington, D.C.
Very good. Hey, thanks so much. Joshua Stickney from Equality California. He is the Deputy Communications Director. Please visit the Equality California website, eqca.org, to register to vote, vote by mail, find a polling place, view their endorsements, and more. You've been listening to Out in the Bay. My guests were Alfonso David, president of the Washington, D.C.-based Human Rights Campaign, and Joshua Stickney, deputy communications director of Equality California. Learn more about these organizations, voting, and their other efforts on our website, outinthebay.org, where you can hear this show, past shows, and share them with friends. And please sign up for our weekly e-news and subscribe to our podcast. And make a tax-deductible donation if you can afford to keep us going and able to keep bringing queer news and stories to your ears. That's outinthebay.org. If you're already registered to vote, watch for your ballot in the mail. County elections offices in California and many other states began mailing ballots this Monday, October 5th. So if you don't have it within a week of that date, call your county elections office and make sure that you are on the rolls. This week's show was produced by Kendra Klang. Thanks also to co-producer Drew Quinn. We're thrilled to announce a new partnership with the Bay Area Reporter, the BAR, Northern California's oldest and largest circulation LGBTQ newspaper and online news service. We'll have a short article on the BAR's website each week with a link to our interviews, and once a month, the BAR's political columnist, Matthew Espejako, or another BAR journalist will come on out in the Bay to give us a roundup of important stories in the queer community. Visit the Bay Area Reporter online at ebar.com. Or pick up a copy of the print edition at a bookstore, community center, or newsstand near you. Our theme music was written and performed by Holly Mead. I'm Eric Jansen. Thanks for joining us out in the Bay. And for voting!